information from around the nation. It's the 411. We're sharing a cave. What a way to make your day. Sharing K is on the way. It's the 411. We're sharing K. It's about newsmakers, movers and shakers. Inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411. We're sharing K. What a way to make your day. Sharing K is on the way.
Hi, this is Dr. Gloria Morrow, licensed clinical psychologist in Upland, California. When I want to know the 411, I listen to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
I love you, Dr. Gloria. Well, that's a good voice from the past, blast from the past. Anyway, let me say hello to Nashville, all of our beautiful and lovely people. And that's you. I'm talking to you. At least claim it, okay? Oh, she's talking to me. Yes, I am. Anyway, it's the Wednesday drive on home and get you there in a very enlightening, informative, and entertaining style as I have been known to do. We have some news from the community today and some weather and some this and that and blah, blah, blah. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, the two mayoral candidates. And this is not a boxing match. Y'all been getting all those. Everybody's having those. I just want the straight up individual people separate. Because, you know, you put them in the room, they're going to knock each other out. Because they're starting not to like each other a lot. That's what politics does. That's a nasty business, don't you think?
It is. It is indeed.
You know, make you not want to get in it or have anything to do with it. So, anyway, how you doing?
Excellent. And yourself?
Well, you know, it's kind of crazy. I've been seeing you all day, and I'm just now asking you that question.
Well, it's been a busy day.
Yeah.
Busy day.
Yeah, it has. It's just a blur. And so the month of August has been. We are about to roll into a holiday weekend. And everyone who is in favor of that, say aye, please. Aye. I think everyone is looking forward to having the weekend, you know, to themselves and the last gasp of air before other seasons begin to change and roll in upon us, fall, and as we march on to the end of this year. But this August and September, good night to August on Saturday and on Sunday. It's the 1st of September, and so many folks will exhale Monday morning because they don't have to get in traffic and they don't have to go to work. So I'm going to exhale like crazy. Anyway, Commander Chuck will be along here in just a few moments to give us the updated traffic on your way home this afternoon, get you there the best possible and safest routes in case there's some gridlock out there. And we have news from the community this afternoon, and I'll pass on the weather here shortly, but just, you know, early voting. Have you gone yet?
No, I'll go Friday.
Yeah, I was thinking about going, I'm going next week after Labor Day. So, early voting continues through the 7th, and today, if you're going to the Howard Office Building, that's the only place today and tomorrow you can go up until Friday when all the locations are open. But you have until 4:30. So if you're on your way, hurry, hurry. Or not, if not, just wait till tomorrow. They get started at 8 o'clock. Now, the news in the community is an important portion of the show because that's why it's called What's the 411. And today the 411 is going to be on a variety. And I saw this in particular, and I felt like this would be a good workshop, you know, for people to attend that enjoy history and enjoy things of this nature. So I have with me on the line is Bill Carey, author and workshop presenter. There is going to be in September a great big workshop on the history of slavery in Tennessee. So, Bill, how you doing today? You okay?
I am doing fine, but I'm ready for that holiday weekend you were talking about.
So you were all in favor, right?
Yeah, I'm a big football fan, and if I can make it to this time of year, I'm probably going to make it till January. That's what we all know.
So that's like a transfusion for you, huh?
Yeah, this heat, I'm ready for this heat to move on.
Yeah. I think everybody's pretty much tired of it. Now, the Tennessee State Library and Archives, which is about to be our new neighbor down the street, I think, right? In that new building down there, is that what that is? Down on
it is. I don't know when it'll open, but it is going to be moving down to the Bicentennial Mall area.
Yeah. I've watched the construction of it and stuff. So anyway, we'll have all that knowledge right down the street from this educational institution. The Tennessee State Library and Archives is hosting this wonderful free workshop. And Bill, you have worked tirelessly on this for quite some time, and I'm just very happy to have you on to give us the information on the contents of the workshop. And I understand you're an authority on this topic.
Well, I don't. I'll tell you the gist of it. I have, for the last 15 years, I run a nonprofit organization called Tennessee History for Kids, which is what they use in. It has to do with mainly helping public school teachers and students learn Tennessee history. I write a history column also for a magazine called Tennessee Magazine, and I started researching a column about a year and a half ago and got diverted in the process because I became very interested in and I was looking at microfilm newspapers and runaway slave ads. These are things that if you look at any old newspaper on microfilm before 1865, you'll see these things, and more often than not, people don't. You're looking for something in particular when you're looking at that newspaper, and you don't necessarily study something you weren't intending to look at. Well, I started studying these things and spent several months, and ended up collecting copies of what I believe to be practically every runaway slave ad printed in Tennessee before slavery was made illegal, and amassed them, collected them, put them in boxes, and kind of wrote a whole book based on what you can learn from these ads about slavery. And a lot of it is things that we knew, but then some of it are things that not all of us necessarily did know. It can be a disturbing topic. But it's not right for us to not understand this. It's a big part of Tennessee, of American history and Tennessee history, and a lot of people just choose not to even think about it. But
well, I wish I knew who that, though, because, you know, I thought about it all my life. I mean, how can you just not think about it? I mean, what?
But for example, here's something people don't usually think about. Newspapers.
Yeah.
Newspapers were part of slavery.
Yes.
By running these ads, there were four or five of them in almost every issue. That means they were part of the institution of slavery.
Absolutely.
All newspapers.
Absolutely.
And most people don't think about that.
Right.
You know, newspapers, by virtue of running these things, were part of the institution. And so people don't usually think about that, for example.
Well, let me ask, when you put this together and do your research, et cetera, what are the reactions of, you know, I don't know you, so I'm assuming you are a white male. And
I am.
Okay. Because, you know, voices are deceiving, but I just wanted to say. And I would, you know, some black people, I don't know who is out there that wouldn't want to know more or discuss it or whatever. I don't know that person. They're not in my realm. But is this a denial thing, or are they just like, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no, don't, just don't, they want to be ignorant to it, or what?
Well, I've spoken to about 15 or 20 audiences about the book. Mm-hmm. Next week I'm speaking to the Franklin Rotary, mm-hmm. which is about as wide as you can get.
Yeah.
I've also spoken at the Macklemore House in Franklin, mm-hmm. which is an African-American institution. I've spoken to audiences of all types.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that in advance of speaking, I've had some people raise concern, do we really want this guy to come in and talk?
Mm.
And most of the reaction has been very positive. But using an example, what I was saying a second ago, you talk about the Rotary.
Mm-hmm.
People need to understand that banking, the institution of banking,
mm-hmm.
was so knee-deep in slavery, or up to their necks in slavery,
mm-hmm.
you could not have been a banker in Tennessee before 1860 and been against slavery, because
right.
banks loan money to buy slaves, pays or uses escrow. And so if you're in banking, you kind of need to know that. And but you really can't understand. One of the things that perplexes people in the South now is, was the Civil War about slavery?
Mm-hmm.
And if it was about slavery, how is it that so many people who didn't own slaves
mm-hmm.
would have fought it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you sort of understand how slavery was interwoven with banking and with newspapers and with law enforcement and with chancery court judges and with big business. The other thing that I couldn't help but run across is how many times companies, factories, would hire slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
They might hire 40 slaves to work at a cotton mill or to work on a railroad.
Now, let me ask you, Bill, are they surprised
yeah.
when... And during your presentation, I'm assuming that you get there in your discussion, that
yeah.
there wouldn't be an economy in this country if it weren't for slaves. Are they aware of that? Because we were the first property. We were,
yeah.
I mean, are they not, they don't get that? I mean, business.
Well, people? I don't know. I just think people forget.
Hmm.
There are things. Let me ask you this.
Hmm.
What movie molds people's views of slavery more than any movie ever made in American history?
Probably Roots or something like that.
Roots may be a good answer. I was going to say Gone with the Wind.
Oh.
Roots is probably the right answer from the night, but I was thinking Gone with the Wind. If you think about some of the things that you learn in Gone with the Wind that are correct or incorrect,
yeah.
Gone with the Wind tells a story about how slavery was involved in agriculture. A lot of people think that as time went on, the South would have eventually gotten rid of slavery as it industrialized.
Mm.
I'm not so sure about that.
Mm.
Because when you sort of see these ads for big business and that we're hiring slaves, I'm not so sure that we didn't, in fact, have to have a war to get rid of slavery. You know,
mm-hmm.
that it wouldn't have happened without that war.
Right.
But you know, I don't know. The other thing that comes
mm-hmm.
up a lot in my life is, and maybe you have an opinion on this.
Okay.
What grade level do students need to start learning this? When are kids too young, and when is the right age?
Can I guess? I like to guess.
Yeah, go ahead. I don't. There's no right answer.
Okay, because I was thinking like maybe third grade they could like get something that would help them begin to
yeah.
you know slowly, just like you learned George Washington lied and chopped down a cherry tree and did all. Well, then why couldn't we insert? You know, I don't think it's so deep for the kids. They've been exposed to everything else online. So I don't think exposing truth to them is going to hurt them.
It's certainly a different opinion. I'm more of the opinion about fifth grade. A lot of people think that it's more like eighth grade.
Hmm. Eighth?
I'm just saying, but
yeah.
this is something that I have to, that teachers have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the other things I found, and this is very disturbing, really, when you look at these ads, chancery court sales. In the old days,
yeah.
a lot of slaves were sold at the courthouse,
mm-hmm.
not by the big slave trader that we've heard of, you know, someone like Nathan First,
mm-hmm.
but the chancery court clerk and master. The chancery court clerk and masters might sell 55 slaves
mm-hmm.
at the courthouse,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times the ads will tell you the names and the ages
mm-hmm.
of the slaves being sold. And some of them are like 2 years old.
Right.
And that's heartbreaking.
It is.
And it happened all the time. It happened
yeah.
probably every third or fourth week.
Yeah.
at the corner. Probably not every week, but every third or fourth. But it was a big part of living in the South. You couldn't avoid it.
That's right. Now, Bill, we need to take a break because I need to get my traffic report in. So you stand by. Don't leave yet, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. You're hearing about the history of slavery in Tennessee, the workshop that Bill Carey presents, and it'll be September 14th, hosted by the Tennessee State Library and Archives. And we're going to be giving some more information on this in just a few minutes. And listeners of this show know good and well that I've had many authors on over the years, many on this topic and others. So I'm glad to hear from someone here in Nashville. Now, I think that if I'm not mistaken, I'm hearing a helicopter. And I do know that that means my friend.
How you doing?
My friend, Commander Chuck, is, you know, I enjoy saying that. Commander Chuck is.
It's funny you say that, though.
Well, you know, I'm serious about my stuff here. You know, keep an eye on the skies for us. Now, Chuck, my vision for today's traffic is clear blue sky. Okay.
Oh, it was nice today, wasn't it?
It's gorgeous. Pretty nice. Outbound, not jammed yet. Going to be shortly. Inbound, smooth sailing. Now, how much of that is actually true, and how much is it that I just make up?
Well, you're 50% right. How's that?
Okay. How's it looking, Nashville, today?
Hey, Sharon, it's traffic lights out of downtown. That's what we're looking at live right now here. The scramble is on here trying to get to the South Loop, the West Loop. We're looking at a pretty good line of traffic here, both east and westbound on 24 up by the football stadium, James Robertson Parkway. There's been a crash out West Nashville, 40 westbound out around the 197-mile marker. You may be wondering, where, Chuck, is the 197-mile marker? That's between OHB and Highway 70. Again, that's west of the city, 8th and DeMumbrium. There's just been a crash at that location. Bell Road, Hickory Hollow Parkway was tying up traffic a few minutes ago, and yes, it's busy now on 24 as you head out towards the air, head out towards Murfreesboro. This traffic report brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken, their south location there at 5814 Nolansville Pike. That's Prince's Hot Chicken. It's so good. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. And being brought to you by Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Did you know African American men are more likely to develop and die from prostate cancer than any other population? Thanks to Astellas Pharma USA, Nashville General Hospital is pleased to offer no-cost prostate cancer screenings for men over 40. Call 615-391-4227 and make an appointment today. It could save your life. 615-341-4227.
Monday is Labor Day, and this weekend is the Labor Day weekend, which means a new season is starting. Football! This weekend on Blue Time in the City, we're going to drop everything and do something special. With all the tailgating, grilling, cooking, and partying going on, we're going to put the blues and southern soul in the Blues Time in the City blues mix just for your enjoyment. Join me, Rogine Bailey, for Blues Time in the City this weekend right here.
Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88. WFSK, and we're going to hold Bill with us for a few more minutes to, because I know when I get into my subjects that I have studied on this show with these great guests I've had, you know, I get carried away. So I just, you know, want to give, you know, he's actually supposed to be telling y'all about the workshop, but I just wanted to get his opinion on some stuff. Now, Bill Carey has a background in journalism, and he has worked in radio and online and print. He's co-founder of the nonprofit organization Tennessee History for Kids and author of 6 books. And he will be presenting a free workshop September 14th. The Tennessee State Library and Archives is your host for the event. And it's also going to be at their offices too, right, Bill?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, your latest book is entitled Runaways, Coffles, and Fancy Girls, A History of Slavery in Tennessee. And
yes, it is.
Is the workshop going to be an overview of the book, or how long does this workshop last? Are you going to break this down? How many hours or sections does the workshop contain?
I think it's about a 2-hour workshop, but I may be wrong about that. One thing I want to mention that I think I'm going to do, let me explain. I got drawn into this because I was just staring at these very long ads about slavery.
Sure.
And in many cases, there were questions that I didn't understand about them. What I was thinking about doing is making copies of some of these ads in particular.
Yeah.
And giving them to everybody and letting everyone take a look at them and see if they can figure them out. Because it may seem obvious, but sometimes there's things about them that we are so far removed from this institution that there's things about them that people, like, for example, and I'm curious, you may know. Do you know what I'm referring to when I refer to a coffle, for example?
No, I don't know what a coffle is. I know what a runaway and a fancy girl are.
Okay, you know what a fancy... A lot of people don't know what a fancy girl is. Of course, that's a... That's a woman that was a sex slave, is what a fancy girl is. A coffle is a chain gang of slaves. When slaves had to be moved from Alexandria, Virginia to Nashville, Tennessee, because they were being moved from one part of the country to the other, they did not go willingly, and they had to be chained together. and the word coffle was a common word.
Yeah.
You might be heading down the road, and you might see 300 people chained together heading down the road. You know, they're not all going to run away if they're all together.
Oh, okay.
And that was a common sight in the South, which Southerners didn't write about because it was so common. A lot of Northerners, when they came South, would be shocked at the sight of these things.
Like a chain gang, almost.
Like a chain gang, but can you imagine anything more miserable than a chain gang of people being forced away from their homes?
Oh, my God.
Many of them young. It's horrible beyond belief.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it is. It absolutely is. But, you know, I think it's time for us to just deal with that wound, because those people were very hurt, and our pain is nothing at all compared to what they had to endure.
You know, I mentioned Alexandria, Virginia. There was a hugely successful slave trading business called Franklin and Armfield, which was run out of Alexandria, Virginia. Mr. Franklin lived in Nashville, Tennessee, and ran this business that bought slaves in Virginia and sold them in Mississippi. and move them mostly by ship. Mm-hmm. But we believe that Franklin and Armfield bought and sold about 15,000 slaves over the course of about 8 years. Mm-hmm. And the reason we know how many he sold is because most of them were taken by ship, and he had to write the names down. Mm-hmm. And so we know the names. But to think how many people ended up living in Louisiana or Texas or Mississippi because of this one company.
Right.
You know, there's almost no telling because you'd have to trace back the deeds. Now, I do want to mention one thing about the library. I would absolutely not have been able to do this book without the state library. No
really?
Way. Because the state library has on microfilm copies of every newspaper printed in Tennessee that wasn't lost before the 1950s. So they have copies of, and most of the newspapers were weekly.
Uh-huh.
And so they'll have every issue of the Memphis something or the Nashville Whig, WHIG, and so I was able to just go through page after page of microfilm.
Yeah.
And I think I looked through every single issue. I'm sure there's some I missed.
Yeah.
But the Jackson Gazette in 1824, Jackson, Tennessee newspaper, looking at those. So all sorts of things I found.
Well, let me ask you, when you looked and you saw some of the ads from whatever year it was, did you notice any that were slave insurance companies that were insuring the slave ships or insuring the people? Because that's early stuff, too, you know, that a lot of these companies, several of them we still have that are still in existence today.
Well, I don't know about the continuation, but what would happen, let's say that I own, okay, let's just say that I'm a slaveholder, and I might have 100, and I might farm out 20 of them to different companies, some of those 20 might be farmed out to do something far away from here, like work at a steamboat. Or work on building a railroad or something. I'm sending them away, and they might die while they're gone. I mean, they're doing dangerous work. You would get insurance primarily on slaves who worked in places like on ships. It was called maritime, and you would see ads for it in the paper.
Right.
So if somebody was working on a ship and on a steamboat in the Mississippi River and fell overboard and drowned,
right,
then that asset is insured, and you will see ads for these. All the time, maritime insurance for slaves, which is another aspect of the whole financial thing. So you do see that.
Well, I tell you, Life, New York Life is one. And I think one of them, because a few years back, several of them apologized, and they're still in
existence. Oh, really?
Yes. Some of them did, not all of them. But they had finally confessed that they had insured those slave ships.
One thing that my book does talk about, it's on the cover because there's an ad about it.
Mm-hmm.
The government, most governments, local governments, leased slave labor. They would lease it. It would be something you'd farmed out to. In the case of Nashville, Tennessee, the government of Nashville at one time owned 26 slaves.
I believe it.
Not leased, but owned. It was in 1830, and we even know how much they paid for them, where they came from, what their names were, and what their distinguishing marks were. We know everything. We don't know when they were sold, at least I don't yet, and we don't know how long the government owned them. And when I told this to, I've mentioned this to a couple of the mayors who were still alive, and none of them, they were all surprised by this news.
Sure.
The reason I first found it is I found runaway slave ads signed by the mayor in 1834.
Huh.
And so part of the mayor's job was to account for these people.
Right.
That was one of the, now I will tell you that was not a discovery. I think it was Dr. Revis Mitchell
Dr. Mitchell. Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if it was Dr. Mitchell or Dr. Levitt. They mentioned this in one of their books. So this was not brand new.
Yeah.
But a lot of people had not heard that. The other thing that was brand new, I don't think this has ever been in any book, is a slave did die in the construction of the Tennessee State Capitol.
Really?
Absolutely. Because I found a little item in the paper there working in the quarry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where the quarry was. Mining the limestone, and one of them, uh, a uh, something happened and he broke his neck, and I think that means he died. In those days, you didn't recover from a broken neck.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even, the little item in the paper does not list the slave's name. It does list the slaveholder's name.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you about this, because when I first moved here, Bill, in 86, there used to be a marker, one of those historic markers. What is that? Right there off the interstate. Is that Market Street or something like that? There used to be an advertising agency on that corner, and that was a slave market. Is there, did they have ads in there for selling slaves on that corner? Because, you know, now it's a whole big condos and all that. They done bulldozed it, you know.
Well, I don't know. I do know there's a man named Dr. Leorotha Williams, and he teaches over at Tennessee State University. I'm trying to remember. Williams, that's his name.
Uh-huh.
He and his students recently, because of work they did, there was a marker put up at the corner of Fifth Avenue.
Yeah.
And it used to be called Charlotte, but it's not anymore.
Uh-huh.
I think it's, anyway, it is a slave marker, and it, there was the main slave market in Nashville for many years was at the corner of Fifth and what was then called Cedar, later called Charlotte. I think it's called Martin Luther King now, right? Didn't we just rename it again?
Yeah. Well, I thought it was the one. I thought it was like there used to be a PR firm on that corner called Cardin Cherry or something.
Yeah.
And that's the corner because that's where there was a marker. Because that was the first time I had seen. Yeah, I saw that when I first got here. And I paused. I'm like, oh, my God. And, you know, because that was where, you know, I was reading it. And then when they tore that down and, you know, changed the whole complexion of the whole thing, I've often wondered. I have to check on that, find out what happened because it's gone. I mean, it was like there when I first moved here, because I used to work at WLAC, and I would get off at that Demumbran exit, and you know, from time to time I'd go through the neighborhood, you know, to see this and that and go somewhere, and I would drive by there. So I need to find out about that. I don't know. I have to see. But anyway, Bill, I bet you that people get at your workshops and really, you know, those that, you know, aren't emotional or whatever, really talk, you know, and, you know, express how they feel and stuff, right?
I don't know. These things, you never know how they'll go. I think this one will be a good one. I haven't had any events related to this book that haven't been good, but sometimes the questions are of a different nature than others. But, you know, when you talk about, I did speak to the downtown Nashville Rotary. That's about as big an audience as you can get for an audience like that. About 200 people in the room, and there were good questions and a nice round of applause. Uh-huh. But I know as I do this book, I did a book 20 years ago about Nashville business history, called Fortune's Fiddles and Fried Chicken, and people love that book. And so it's when people hear that I'm speaking, they're like, "Oh, excellent! Is he here to talk about that book?" And it's like, "No, he's talking about slavery." Like, "Oh man,"
then they
bringing
go,
us down.
Then they bringing you down. That's the facts. You're scared of the facts.
but the truth is, anybody to look into this subject and not get a little disturbed, you would have to be a sicko, because I had trouble emotionally going through this subject, you know, because I would spend the whole day looking at this microfilm, and I'd be like, "Oh my God!"
Yeah.
You know, it is depressing to realize I found 906 separate runaway slave ads.
Yeah. Oh, I'm certain. I'm probably thousands.
Now think about that. That's 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Who risked their lives running away from home? Mm. Most of them probably got caught, and got the hell beaten out of them. Excuse my language.
That's true.
And I mean, seriously, this is a difficult thing that people went through. It's horrible.
Oh my God, that's our ancestors. You know, I can feel every bit of that. And you know, the facts are, is that people are still emotionally kind of dealing with that now. And you know, the it's called the slave syndrome. That Dr. Joy DeGruy has described, the post-traumatic slave disorder. So, yes, we get it more than, you know, you have any idea. I'm glad that you're doing this workshop and people's eyes may come open to hear something and learn something because America's history is not as pretty and perfect as what people think it is. It is what it is. And, you know, we claim our country and love our country, but, you know, you have to admit that there's some things that are absolutely flawed about it.
Well, and there's no point in learning history without kind of understanding this, because what I have found is that if you're not careful,
yes,
you don't. When we teach Tennessee and U.S. history, we don't talk about slavery until we talk about the causes of the Civil War.
Yeah,
and that, yet slaves were crossing the Cumberland Plateau in 1795 with the earliest settlers here.
Yeah,
so they were part of. They were. You just don't think about it, but they were here in 1798. And,
yeah.
And so we can't not act like that happened.
No, they can't. In 1619, we just celebrated 400 years of slavery in this country. So, you know, people are unconscious and everything. But, you know, awaken. Anyway, Bill, give the information on date, time, etc., where things are, and so folks can attend the workshop.
Okay, it's Saturday, September the 14th. And it is at 9:30 in the morning to 11 a.m. at the Tennessee State Library, 403 7th Avenue North.
Okay, excellent. And they can go on to the Tennessee State Archive website, probably. And do you have to register in advance for this?
It does look like they do want people to go on. It's free, but they do want you to make a reservation.
Okay, cool. All right, and go on to their website. And do that, and we hope that you have a packed house.
Me too.
Yeah, because, you know, that means you'll do it again, right?
Well, it just means I'll have a packed house. I've spoken to audiences of two before.
Yeah.
But I've also spoken to large ones, so you never know.
All right. Well, good luck on this, and Bill, thank you so much, okay? I appreciate you
very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
That was Bill Carey. And he's the presenter of the workshop and everything. You just heard him talking about some of the things he discovered. And it sounds interesting. And if you are so moved and not scared of the facts, you ought to definitely attend the Tennessee State Library and Archives workshop, The History of Slavery in Tennessee. Oh, yes, Tennessee, you participated in it. Yeehaw! Yeah, you did. Anyway, let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. And being brought to you by Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Did you know African American men are more likely to develop and die from prostate cancer than any other population? Thanks to Astellas Pharma USA, Nashville General Hospital is pleased to offer no-cost prostate cancer screenings for men over 40. Call 615-391-4227 and make an appointment today. It could save your life. 615-341-4227.
Good afternoon. We're looking live here at heavy traffic downtown, trying to escape here on 40 East and Westbound here at the South Loop, the West Loop. Latest wreck out west is going to be at OHP at Highway 70. Traffic's already picked up through the construction now on 440 Eastbound. As you come past Hillsborough Pike, trying to get down to the 65 split, it's really busy already on 24 headed out to Murfreesboro. Checking a possible wreck here on 65 northbound in Williamson County around the 61-mile marker. This traffic report brought to you by Obergatlinburg. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Tune in on Thursdays to hear WFSK's Artist of the Week and stay up on the latest smooth and contemporary jazz releases. This week's Artist of the Week is trumpeter Rick Braun. He's back with a new release entitled Crossroads. Don't miss the WFSK feature, Artist of the Week, during the noon hour on Thursdays. You'll hear some prime cuts, an interview with the Artist of the Week, and win some brand new music right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK. We're Nashville's jazz station. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK. And somebody wanted me to repeat the address and the phone number and all that stuff. It is for that Tennessee State Library and Archives. That free workshop is 615-741-3158. And they are at 403 7th Avenue North. 403, that's what it says, 403 7th Avenue North. Now, let's go to the phone, see what's on the minds of the people, and then we'll see what's on the other side after that. Is this Carnell?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing today?
All right.
What's on your mind?
No, I was wanting to call. I just wanted you to repeat that information. I missed the information.
I
didn't have a question.
Okay, it's September 14th.
Okay, it was September 14th.
Uh-huh,
okay.
Uh-huh. And it's free, and that's good. And usually when I have my community news segment, I find stuff that's, you know, little expense to it or free. And it's it's an hour and a half. It's from 9:30 to 11, Saturday, September 14th. And they have an auditorium inside that Library and Archives office on 7th Avenue North.
Okay. He also said something you have to register for.
Well, they asked that you do it.
So you go online and register for.
Yeah. You can go to if you go probably to tn.gov, you could probably find it on there and on a search.
Okay.
Because, you know, Tennessee has that directory on their stuff, you know, and so does Metro, where you just tell it what kind of event. X, if you give, get his email for me, and I'll send him the link, because I just clicked on it myself. And it's got your invitation and everything on it. Carnell, give X your email address, and I'll send it to you while I'm talking to you.
Okay, it's Rag, R-A-G.
Wait. Pull him down, X. Pull him down. Okay, because that ain't everybody's business. Because you just don't know. It could be a Russian robot listening. Or the Chinese trying to get you to sabotage. You know, you got to be cool nowadays. You can't do stuff like you used to. Anyway, I wanted to mention, I was supposed to have on, and it's still going to happen, but it's not going to happen this afternoon because... the guest, Shonda Buchanan, is her flight was a little bit messed up, so I talked to her a little while ago, and I could hear, attention passengers, if you are boarding for, I was like, oh my God. And you know, she was at a big airport. You could hear all these people and kids and blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh no, oh, we can't do this. So, you know, it is what it is. And it would have just, the airport noise would have made y'all nuts. It would have made me nuts. So we are going to pull her back probably sometime next week because that flight issue messed it up. But she is a literary editor, or is the literary editor of the Harriet Tubman Press. Shonda Buchanan is an award-winning poet and educator. She is also the author of Who's Afraid of Black Indians? That's the question. Who is? And Equikapose poems from Goddess Country. Well, we had to check with the goddesses on that one. And she is also editor of two anthologies, Voices from Leonard Park and Voices from Leonard Park Redux. And this is apparently her story. And she is sharing it, and it's rather extensive. I think for the first time it's in her memoir. It talks about the issues that she faced in her family and being black and having black and Indian blood. And some of the things that she had to deal with. And because it's, you know, black folk, you're not black enough, and the Indians, you're too black. So, it, you know, it's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot. And, you know, and the issues involving that. And so we're looking forward to getting her back, and that will be next week. The and before I go any further, Sunday, I hope you all tune in because, number one, I got your scam alert information. I got some scam alert information for you because, you know, I keep my eyes out on things. But I have an interview that is going, we're going to air on Sunday morning. And, you know, because I am the kind of person I am with a news head, I pay attention to all different kind of things that have to do with how it's impacting people and people of color in particular, and women. And when I read this story, I've been following the campaign. You know, X and I, we talk about politics all the time, don't we, X? All the time.
Yes, we do.
All the time. All I got to do is say one word to you, and you pull the ripcord. But when I had heard that, now, you know Ben Carson is over her, right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. See, I told you. so I had, when they were talking during the campaign about they wanted to unplug all the state agencies and all the services for the people and reinvent government, I was like, oh, Lord, y'all better check that. Y'all better write that note down somewhere because I ain't playing, ain't playing, ain't playing. So here we are a couple of years in. And now there's a move to dismantle the Fair Housing Act. And, you know, that has done so much to help level the playing field for people to become homeowners and not just steer to ghetto-y, project-y style of things, but to be able to buy a home wherever they choose. And to gut that is serious business. So we'll, I've got one of the attorneys with the lawyers for civil rights under the law from Washington, D.C., that I'll be talking to about the efforts to stop that. Because that's not, you know, they start rolling away things like that, yo.
Yeah.
If that's first, then everything else is coming up. It's coming. It's coming, okay?
Well, under the shadows.
I mean, it's coming. And you pretty soon it'll be Civil Rights Act and, you know, pretty soon it'll be right to vote.
You don't
and
need that
pretty
no more.
Soon and
what you need to vote for.
Right. And pretty soon, the shred the Constitution. I mean, it's gotten to be a wacky world. So, and people are so weak and can't fight the kryptonite. The Republicans can't fight the kryptonite. So knowing that that's the case, I am being vigilant as I possibly can on a subject matter like that in case the mainstream doesn't always tell you those kind of stories. But I do, because that's me. And I noticed, you know, when I started reading that, I said, now, I hadn't heard nothing, you know, on, you know, any of the major outlets. And I know there's a lot of craziness to cover. I got that. I think everybody's exhausted from the Trump go-round, merry-go-round. I think we're all exhausted, and except for him. I mean, that's so crazy. Now, just help me understand. How is that possible that everybody could be exhausted but him? And he's pushing the thing round and round faster and faster. But anyway, I have been watching purposely as various things have been on the dismantling of everything, including Interior Department and other departments and conservation and various things that as Americans we built. So, you know, I am watching things, and I'll be bringing them up on the show. So she is going to talk at length about what this means and how this could impact other things that many of you probably hadn't even thought about. And one thing about our community, you know, we should not be the last ones to know, since we're benefiting from this stuff. We ought to be up on it and making public comments and talking to people and staying active before, because a lot of people live in housing and urban development funded either retirement communities or in homes that were HUD funded or HUD program. So when they start dismantling all that stuff and get rid of that program, who's it going to affect? Okay, first and foremostly.
And who's been benefiting those big tax breaks that would just pass?
Well, and they wouldn't need the HUD stuff. Okay, they don't need it at all.
They're getting that, and the farmers. That's the other end of the recipient. So it's.
Well, speaking of the farmers from Iowa, when President Trump ordered tariffs on China that scrambled global grain markets, many U.S. farmers were willing to absorb their financial hit. We'll see how long
like
that hit.
Me now.
How we'll
I feel
see
my cool Modi coming in.
If you know, hit you once, okay, but hit you three times. But the patience of Midwest farmers with a president that mostly supported a 2016 is being newly tested. The administration has now granted waivers to 31 more oil refineries so they don't have to blend ethanol into their gasoline. Given that roughly 40% of U.S. corn is produced into ethanol, that's a fresh blow to producers struggling with low prices and potentially mediocre harvests. Nebraska farmer Lynn Crisp, president of the National Corn Growers Association, calls that the straw that broke the camel's back. I'm like, you done went too far. Agricultural Secretary Sonny Perdue said in Illinois today that Trump will take action to soften the effects, but there are no details.
And how's he going to do that?
He going to give him some money.
Give him more money.
He going to
give him more welfare.
Corporate welfare.
Oh.
He's going to
do it. So it's okay
it.
For them to get welfare.
It's okay for them to get welfare. Hmm. But don't you be a person of color.
But now, so if you are a farmer, and how do you recoup your markets, though? I mean, you're getting the corporate welfare, but how do you recoup your markets?
You don't.
What?
Your stuff is
and they're still
going
to vote for him, huh?
Well, I mean, if they want to have it pass it on to generation, and your kids had to leave because you know they couldn't get any income.
So we're in a global economy.
Or they had to sell their properties.
And so now they can't move their goods.
Well, you know,
because
I'm from big grain country and all that. So, you know, I need to go home. I hadn't been home since 2015.
So they still think he's the savior, huh?
Oh, I think some of them.
You can't do
now,
no
wait,
wrong.
Now, wait, hold. Now, you missed what I said. I said it was the National Corn Growers Association president that calls this the straw that broke the camel's back.
Oh.
So we shall see.
I don't believe that one bit.
Okay, well, we shall see. So we'll see how long the camel's back stays broken on that one.
And they never come out and condemn. They always dance around. Well, this is the straw that broke the camel. What does that mean?
Well, we know what it means, but we'll see what if they know what it means. We'll see. Now,
I'll come out and say, we're not voting for you for for real. Like, how about come out and saying that?
Well, that'll come.
Well, they can't say that because then he'll cut them off from their corporate
that'll
welfare.
That'll come. No, they might be want to cut. You know, some men don't want to get that. They want to work for a living, you know.
That's what they say.
Everybody don't want to lay on the sofa.
Are they taking the checks?
Well, they ain't got no choice.
Yeah, they do.
What, to not take it?
Tell them to stop the tariffs.
And be stubborn?
Tell them to stop.
See, you can't stop a crazy person.
But isn't it?
Aren't the global markets? You can't stop no crazy person.
I'm just saying, I'm not a farmer. But I'm just saying, aren't the global markets more beneficial than a welfare check?
Well, but see, the president is using authoritarian powers to do this stuff
I'm just saying.
So we don't know what he's going to do between now and 8 o'clock tonight. You just do not know what he's going to do. Now, I wanted to mention this because a long time ago on the show, this was a long time ago, before we go get the news at the top of the hour, I had Ancestral Lucy. Two or three professors on and high-level people to talk about this. A fossil from Ethiopia is showing scientists a face from millions of years back in our evolutionary history. I didn't say England. I said Ethiopia.
Ooh.
Okay. The discovery, some 3.8 million years old, is from a species that is considered an ancestor of Lucy, the famous Ethiopian partial skeleton. So I didn't say European skeleton. I said African.
Have we found any of their
skeletons?
Have we found any of those skeletons that old anywhere?
No. Yeah. You mean in this?
Anywhere.
Well,
I'm just saying.
It depends on who's looking. You know? Anyway, let's go to the top of the hour, get the news. And 5 o'clock is all about who's going to be Nashville's next mayor. So let's take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.